So no mention that you made, and if we were able to take reference of some of the other issues that you've mentioned, then members would be at liberty to engage you in the today. Honourable members, your opportunity for engagement, questions, comments, the first is Mayor Matthias.
Before sending the question to the Honourable Chair, I wanted to check in to whether one would be possible if the controller is around to also present the public school for vision due to the session.
Controller, the last time I was not in that, but I would prefer that we deal with the National House of Traditional Leaders and then move to the next presenter who is still there, so that we can think of the presenters who have made their contribution. The next, and I saw was that of Honorable Fitali, followed by Honorable Sitole, Honorable Masam. Till that point. Was your simply the suggestion, is there a to make a recommendation in regard to this Honorable Matej? Please continue, please do so.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Also, thank you for the presentation that I have shared. Mine is going to be on the issue where you believe that the communal land is likely to be taken by the municipalities for their own purposes. I think the municipalities are acting on behalf of the communities that are there within their own boundaries. So, what do you suggest should be done? If maybe there may be a development of some sort within the municipality, especially rural municipalities where they share the land, the green land, which is also governed by the coach. What should they do if they need to do something for the community that they are taking? I'm saying this because I've got an example where the municipality wanted to develop an area in that Indian jurisdiction. As far back as 2003, up to now, it has not happened because of the particular problem. Then what must they do? Because they need to do that for the sake of the community that they need. Thank you.
Honorable Member Mitchell, Honorable Secretary. Thank you. I'm here. Thanks for your presentation. I've been looking forward to this today. First question is, what role do you see for your institution once the deal is passed? I'm asking this with regard to the last 10 minutes of the care paragraph that was there on the background. If the deal is passed into law, communal land is likely to become vested in governance. What role would you still have once so much or a huge percentage of the land, you know, falls into the hands of the governance? If any. Secondly, in which way is association of third party rights not in compliance with the Constitution? You have made some vague reference in the first paragraph of the last page. We've got a page. The House has also revealed that the provision of third party rights must comply with the Constitution. That sounds more like a challenging statement, but just as I said, you feel that it's not there. It could not be in compliance with the Constitution. Where are the barriers? And lastly, you feel that there should be some kind of determination of the value of But I just want to also get a guide if they complain on the issues they have today. Maybe what is the legacy for community and to exclude them from the definition of women. Okay, the second one is all about that. I had a presenter talking about the William Seminar and William Maya in his course, and I'm not sure whether the way I can, I'm not sure whether he sees his meaning that he is in favor of the William Seminar.
Thank you. I would like to raise the opportunity to the presenters for a rejoinder. You have the questions, you have the comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will try to keep answer
customer law,
that there has to be some form of evaluation of the land that is available. You know, that government has probably engaged in terms of knowing what is the value of areas that are, you know, that they are controlling. Here, probably not sometimes people speak data and also, but I think there has to be a process which management of land affairs to do some evaluation
Thank you.
regard to modern presentation, the presenters are at liberty to add to what they present. It cannot be a verbatim reading of the original submission. And I would assume that presenters would be speaking to their basic document. But in their allegations, they would elaborate on a certain point. So kindly note the issues that they are raising. I would assume the members to do that. Could you continue? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. What were the terms of the compromise? Because basically, that in exchange for political power being handed to black people, land and economy shall remain in the hands of white minority settler population. Now, Section 25 legalizes land theft and illegal and legitimizes colonialism. Those who negotiated this compromise at the start, or at the time, said that it was a tactical move to gain power without too much blood being shed. The logic was that after power was secured, land would be returned. Now the tension therefore was never about redistributing land, but rather about securing political compromise. 21 years after democracy, we know that the compromise has been very bad for black people and the majority. This section has rendered our people landless in our own land. Section 25 in its entirety is a yoke in the necks of our people and shackles in the feet and hands of our people. It makes us slaves in our own land. The argument about that Section 25 has been for our people is made better by evidence. The evidence states that all land reform programs are still threatened colonial, neo-colonial, and market logic, which makes them anti-land institution. Our people are without any means to access land. There is urban, rural landlessness, which affects about 20 million people. It would take more than 100 years to get 60% of the land back if we get the logic of the deal. Between 1994 up to 2004, 1 million farm workers have been evicted from the land, and this still continues. After 20 years, only 8% of the land has been bought back at a staggering price of 50 billion rand. 50 billion rand. Up to now, there has been no political will to return the land to our people. Any process of land redistribution that is dependent on gaining compensation is politically flawed, economically unrealistic, and morally expensive. The willing buyer and the willing seller logic has blocked land return to the people. The main question that needs to be asked is, what is the objective of the deal? Because national consensus has been reached on numerous conferences given off the majority party, which correctly defines the South African land reform program as driven by the willing buyer, willing seller system. All those, even the marginal leaders in the land question, have said such a program is not based in South Africa, because all of the land in the country is stolen from us. Those who have land have gained it as a result of theft and violence and have no right to it. This group is therefore offended by the policy process that insists that stolen land must be bought from those who benefited from that illegality. We think this deal makes that illegality bigger. So I will give over to Andy.
Thank you. Could you kindly draft of the Constitution was drafted and finalized, the idea was simply redistributing the land. When any European country has been asked to answer when the bill, when that Constitution was filled in the bill, because we're kept by a few people, you know, come across like that. And what you see is that there is any formality in that approach. Second question is, who stole land and from whom? Asking this question, you could tell understandably, but this justifies me with surprise when an African like me puts that question to you. But it is never clear at this point in time that we have been a record for someone to say, so and so stole land from so and so, because it's a question of choice and the fact. That's where I'm coming from. And this last question is, who would you regard as a deserving applicant? Because somebody suggests land is very much point one of your proposal, that section 25, the replace completely with the following place, all lands are the completed status without compensation to deserving applicants. What criteria would you suggest should be used in order to qualify people to be deserving applicants? I'm asking this question because the bill deals with two issues, you know, public interest, and I suppose this is where that question, that issue would be raised, as different from, you know, public sectors. So we'd love to have your well thought out answer to say this would be a deserving applicant. Thank you.
Honorable President, thank you. Honorable Chancellor. I must also say that the proposition is very much interesting, but I don't think that it's time for the assisting us. Because in the beginning, they say the land of the king was a compromise for political power. I really would like to hear from them, because when it looks really at the age, they were not there, and I would like to hear from them.
Let me indulge.
I think the other end is hatefully extreme and also undermines our intelligence, because we are actively engaged in land issues. Now, do I have to have been born in a certain age in the historical development of the country for me to have a say on the land? No, just let me protect us from this one, please. So let us have appreciation for that. I would like to believe that as the person given the responsibility to chair proceedings, I will be mindful of those issues, and I will seek to the best of my ability to guide the meeting so that you are able to achieve what we intend to achieve. Guidance is to the members of the public interested stakeholders as well as members of parliament. So, wonderful member, your contribution is here.
Thank you very much.
My name is Sir Matthias. Thank you very much for being on the panel to allow a very engaging and qualitative discussion.
Almost with the discussion almost going to each other's out. So, it has to be very interesting. But nonetheless, I've got maybe one or two questions. But they say they are focused very sincerely on the broader question of land ownership, more than mere formalities of law of general application. Am I right? So what honourable member, I would like to speak through the chair. I don't want the dialogue with the So please make your point. I think there is a time for a rejoinder, as we can rejoinder, but I would not like to see when I carry this dialogue. Thank you.
So if that is the case, to do they think that this exercise is a shack of a sideshow of the bigger dialogue about the land ownership in this country. What they think is that this process is a process of a partial process on the land ownership which should be taking place. We should have taken place already over the last 3 months. I want to hear that. Second, the reason is that, and they also responded to the commented on the already in place. State and the government is empowered by the 1935 Act. So if the government, according to them, what is it that the government should have done over the last 21 years, which is incapable of doing today, and what are the chances of them achieving the 30% transferable land ownership over the 25 years, which they could not do over the last 21 years?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any input from the department, from the ministry?
In a sense, I would say that this is a sideshow, but I know it's an important sideshow. Because this is not about land reform specifically. About the general application in terms of expropriation, and to ensure that any expropriation in the public interest will fall upon the
Thank you.
some examples. These are two totally different examples that are very successful to achieve the end. But if I am misrepresenting you or inappropriately extending your point that you're given, you have an opportunity to come back. But that's the point I want to stress, that the pace of speaking of other people, which would be looking at the land for which perhaps if they could look at the use of the land, the difficulty of see how much of pay for the land, then what governments, that offers trigger off that matter? Instead of frustrating, and dealing with the issues of the market value. And that's the point I want to stress. We really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Presenters of Blacks on this what I say in notice is going to flash.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. And thank you for the comments and the questions.
I think it was something which I mean.
Thank you for your question. Actually, it's a very good question about where land reform has been most effective and the role of expropriation in them. So the East Asian land reforms are seen as being substantial to the sector implementation in Taiwan, South Korea. Also in two states governed by the government party of India. And in those cases, the explicit intention of the land reform was to break the landlord class, in which largely activity landowners were extracting rates from tenant farmers. Now, these were land flotilla reforms, so it was a confiscation and redistribution of land from landowners to tenants. Now, in South Africa, we don't have much of the country where we have that situation, which is why, regardless of how you get the land, it's still a question of how can it be equitably redistributed. There is, the situation of their tenants, for instance, in KwaZulu-Natal and in Mpumalanga, and I know that after a prolonged conflict in the area of Region in KwaZulu-Natal, their tenants have been waiting for 13 years for their claims to be resolved, are now in negotiation with government about an expropriation process. But because the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform does not feel that it's empowered to appropriate to resolve the data tenant claim, they're actually trying to establish a settlement and to move that through the settlement process. So that shows the situation in which people are actually small scale farmers, not having small scale farmers with a historical relationship with their land. Their rights are recognized in the constitution. There is a law that says that they should become the owners of that land. And it hasn't been possible. So that's the primary argument. And I think other examples from elsewhere in the world is that the way in which land reform can be promoted is not only through expropriation and confiscation, but through protecting people who occupy land out of the necessity to have a place to live and to make a livelihood. In Brazil, there is a constitutional clause that protects the rights of people who occupy land not for profit, but for basic livelihood. Land is public land and private land that is not being used. And if they occupy it openly for a period of 5 years, they can be protected. So that would be an alternative to the kind of land regime that we have in South Africa. So there are important examples. I think that in response to Honourable Dlamini, yes, there will always be technical issues. It's unlikely that anyone holding property will give it up without a fight. But we see that actually parts of government are highly effective. If companies expropriate, land companies expropriate, then maybe firms or projects that they can do it. We seem to not be able to do it for land reform purposes. So I don't think that we can get away entirely from the technical issues, but we can make government more effective and more nifty at doing things in a regulated way across these different sectors. In that sense, it seems to have been prioritizing the public purpose and marginalizing the public interest. I think the difficulty here is that when we look at the bill, some people are thinking about this as primarily means of redistributing wealth. But I do think that we need to realize that this is going to be a general application. We cannot have different rules for different categories of people. There's not going to be a rule that says how we appropriate from white people and how we appropriate.
critical said that we've now got here copies which they have given to us of our presentation, which is on the wall, but we've also made no notes if we want to. Chair, we've given you two earlier submissions, which I'm not certain, and I thought that they were marked 10 at one stage, but we're not going to do the first, I think, to fight it, because I want to explain that we had expropriation and compensation provisions in our representing legislation of
Thank you.
We will have to take the deed with this book, with this act, in a few years' time. And I'm saying this, but the courts have sat with this constitutional provision for 20 years, and they didn't ever get to it. Because the conflict that I had with the court, they said no. And I'm going to explain it, because the Mala Mala judgment of the Land Claims Court by Judge Portman was a disaster. It insisted on investment rights. And then they settled at the door of the Constitutional Court for 920 million, which wiped out the budget and set it there all president. Why? Because in Mala Mala and the Land Claims Court, they had the narrow approach, I say this in the middle of page 10 of the notes, the narrow approach of considering whether the current landowners were directly responsible for racially discriminatory dispossessions. And the rabbi, of course, was the previous round. But what they had to insist, what the court should have been considered, and which Mr. Mosenege did so ably, in the Popela case, was to take into account the full range of racist legislative schemes, policies, practices on land from 1913 to 1970. And there's the vast impact on the rights in land of black people. And today we can have that that process, of course, started in 1830 when Mr. Craddock, rather than Craddock, introduced privileged settler typing for settler squatters, which resulted in a privileged class of type of private ownership. And that is the Mr. Taylor class. So what he's proposing is a discount in respect of history of acquisition and use of 20%. Plus, another discount of 20%. If the purpose is land reform, purpose of expropriation as a factor. So remember, expropriation condition is sub 2, but in sub 3 it is a factor. So the purpose of expropriation as a factor is considered. The land reform and purpose of expropriation is considered as a factor. Another thing is in this time. Impacting on all private landowners. So we are asking for 20% discount, and in 2 years' time, when we're ready for the debate. And we're saying we need now a top up for communal land, for right progress for communal land. We need that holding of compensation solution now. Next week, when we discuss. So, sorry, Chair, I must show where I motivated. Why in 2 years' time, in 10B at the bottom, in 2 years we must get our land reform out in order. Secondly, the Valley General must successfully apply these guidelines in Section 20. And we suggest he uses these guidelines. Well, he was appointed 2 weeks ago, and you know, let's see what he has to do. Chair, so just on the procedure. That's a repeat. At the bottom of page 11, we've got a very nice conciliation provision, which we, in those days when we helped to draft government legislation that was in 1998, we did something similar in other legislation, and we thought this one was about to be, it could be interesting for your consideration. And then finally on the legislative process, this is section 76 full correctly so. It shouldn't have gone to the additional items correctly so. And they've been here now, they didn't even ask, they didn't ask for it, so that's fine. The hearings in the provincial legislatures are required. And we've got to give content to those hearings because this is so important to provincial hearings. Three, invite the Land Claims Commission and the Land Claims Board. If you're going to consider these provisions. Four, encourage the Valley General to guide compensation, discounts, and top-ups in terms of his situation powers. weaponry. And in the meantime, so many people around have fallen into the regulations. And then six which I've added here and want to insist upon for your consideration, Chair, and your committee's consideration is this, that the minister, the department, prepare departmental, maybe with treasury, guidelines for the Section 2 negotiation. That we empower our expropriating authorities with guidelines on how to negotiate. Because that's where the value of this expropriation will act like
Thank you, Honorable Chair. And thanks for the presentation from Mr. Smith. I wanted to talk on page number 11, the last bulletin there, where it talks about displaced communities on communal land are effectively compensated in kind and financial terms. So I want more drafts on this one, one to the meaning of this, taking into consideration that in most cases when the land from communal land is being evaluated, normally it is evaluated at a very low price and it doesn't really assist the people who have been who are poor and more especially those who have been dispossessed of their land. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Member Sitani. Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the presentation. We'll go straight to pages 8 and 11 of Amir.
in
how this is working in our regular banking system. The municipalities can register. So we are saying that the expropriating authority is the commissioner for the Chinese commission must plan for it, budget for it, and maybe appoint the investigator together with the directors to do the exercise so that you can make a good decision on crowdfunding activities. Because it's an opportunistic situation, and they expect the expropriating authority. So with minimal, in the case of minimal, you know, they must certainly, they must this thing of alternative accommodation, alternative provision, kind of alternative land, I think it's a difficult issue. We're not saying it's an unconstitutional issue. This document that you gave up this morning from the IRR, that again harps on the same issue. It's a central point of things. Alternative accommodation is like the non-provision of alternative accommodation makes the whole unconstitutional. That cannot be solved. In certain circumstances, alternative accommodation can contribute to the content of a just and equitable outcome. And that is what we're trying to say when we look at the broadening of the definition and investigation that must precede a determination. So alternative accommodation. Now, if we simply stick to compensation and financial compensation, we get what happens with the restitution cases. When people get so tired of waiting for the commission to give attention to their case that they take the money. And the money translates into what? A flat fee, a TV, a deposit for a car, or a deposit for a car, or 1 year of tertiary education for one of your children. And then it's over. What you get out of the legacy project. And we're saying that in certain circumstances, and especially communal land situations, where there's a community ownership, there's a collective ownership and an individual ownership, the collective can decide that they also want the other legislative, the alternative development opportunity. And this is what the experience of the Sutu now gives us in this podcast, that maybe we might we'd like to talk about or share a little bit of experience with us. And Mr. did you just who did and then the sixth post-secondary support and budget. Yes, the expropriating authority must bring it into the budget. And if there's going to be a development on the land that's going to benefit us, we share in the benefit. So, you know, by involving the people who are going to be affected, sharing the benefits, you produce your own income. And this is what the subs project must aim to do.
Private property, common law property regime in South Africa. We know
conference is only human in financial terms, that is to say market level, and nobody actually came up so succinctly as you have done to show us the importance of the social value of the land, you know, where, or rather when it comes to communities, social value that is attached to where, you know, one lives. I'm thinking of what I saw in the media about street claims, you know, where Kipton is passing, moving people 35 kilometers out of Cape Town, and now they are landed in the middle of nowhere, buying cattle with a cost of 4 million each, because there's only one further shop. And they continue to do the inhuman displacement of people, and there's just no social compensation. You know, so we appreciate the opportunity to way of looking at this. Thank you, sir.
Honorable Kalini.
Thank you, Chair.
Because of that, they can be the case of the not normal, even better situation there. first issue that I really appreciate is your understanding that what we're dealing with is a process that is not just a spirit. I think it's very important for all of us to understand that from the department, but also from the political party. We're not going to solve all the problems here, but we can lean into a process that leads to much of these to find expression in jurisprudence, in substantive acts that are of sexual kind, you refer to
products out of their strong drink and other properties. Because those properties were required to make, to split our city and still mind our saying that we put our lives and our city together with some of the best land that we have. And that's all. It's now going to gut that kind of situation. So the municipality must also pull up their socks and the stroke necessary then to make our, to heal our cities and our towns again. And Chair, the who is going to, because Ms. Martinez, you asked who is going to give the tribe values. And this is the exciting thing, that the real stakeholders with due recognition are going to participate in that conversation, in the negotiation, and give information to what doesn't become a faithless expropriation in Pretoria. And with, but that the community is going to be involved. The department and the landowner must be involved. The municipality must be involved. Dwa must be involved. Water affairs and sanitation must be involved. To also look at the infrastructure implications of an expropriation. And that kind of coming together of information that both real knowledge and good decision making is a first in this kind of legislation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Coming from Mr. Hammond, with whom I served on Robben Island Museum Council for more than 10 years, that's very brief. He's normally very passionate, as you've seen him today. I'd like to thank Mr. Smith and the delegation from the LRC. We thank you for your time and your contribution, and like with other stakeholders, we'll continue the conversation in order to seek to get the best possible legislation. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Our next presentation will be from Contra Lessa, but I also need to alert you. The cheapest watch in the room says it's 1:04, but as soon as lunch is available, I'm going to have just have a break of 10 minutes for people to get lunch outside. It's a finger lunch. And I'm also going to plead with the members of Parliament in particular, if we could kindly work through our so-called lunch hour between 1 and 2. Because 2 o'clock I'm told that there's voting to take place in the House and other members might want to be there. So we don't really have a choice. So this is an appeal that I'm going to make to members. As the delegation of Contra-Lessa comes closer, I'm going to have a voice break of 1 minute. Thank you.
it is a known fact that the indigenous people of this country were not of the Anglo-Saxon. The policy of William Bayer and William Fenner have stayed with this man. And if we believe that the government, this government, has been linear in kind in addressing the land issue, with the hope that those who are supposed to select the land between will indeed come to the party. But instead, the opposite is happening. Our people are still living in that 60% of the land. And it's also believed that the land must be returned to the government so that the government can redistribute the land to its people. I doubt without that the government will have challenges in giving the land back to the people. Because the very same party who is in power now, it was the same party who was leading the fight for the sole purpose of adjusting among other objectives of adjusting the land. Because all of us have felt that we lost our land. We are again supporting this market-based system. But within this market-based system, there are a few issues that we need to take clarity. One, Section 25, Article 63, which talks to just and equitable compensation. We really want to understand, if you talk about the issue of credibility, how is that determined? Who is not going to be lost? And how are we going to get satisfied? That I think it can be addressed, probably it will take us forward. Secondly, it will be the issue of when this land was acquired, by half this land was acquired, was it lost? The acquisition part of it. If it was acquired under the rules, then do we really need to justify that we need to compensate those who have acquired this land under the rules? Let us this point again, which is need to further debate this matter. It's not actually this process, how long is it going to take? How long is it going to unfold? So that must be in a position to know it's not going to be a long process that will have an unending. So that the people will lose patience again. We do not see a situation where we will embark on an engraving. We strongly believe that the government has the capability of adjusting these things before it gets out of here. If the government again fails in this attempt to this market failure, I strongly believe it should come out daily and say that no, we have failed. So that the people who know the fact, the people who know how the land was sorted on the changing world, so that there should be no longer any other processes of addressing this issue of the land. And lastly, I hope that before I can give it to my colleagues, I hope that when we talk about the appropriation land, we don't include the 15% that we elect as occupiers. But that is 87% from the white minority should be an issue again, so that we address it adequately. Thank you.
Thank you for your comprehension.
Thank you very much, Joseph, and thank you. Indeed, of course, as we support the bill, the issue of compensation again comes that we agree that there must be fair and equitable market value for compensation. However, when the compensation is made, remember that the market value of the property could be increased. And there are people who will pay less for it in terms of claiming the property. We talk about the farm worker who also happens to be at our community at the rural area. Then when that amount of money is paid, we also look at the issue how they were adequately compensated, because of course they form part of taking of improving the value of the property. And also we look at Section 25, I think paragraph 6. It says there must be compensation with the municipality in terms of the appropriation of the land. But also there's adds the clause that there must be in consultation of the traditional leader and others which are fair, development of land and not development. But also the traditional leader must be also consulted in terms that issue for application must look all the relevant issues of the traditional and traditional communal land, which, remember, when the issue of the traditional communal land, the traditional are not the owners of the land, but are the custodians of the land. We hold the land on behalf of our community. Therefore, whatever that is the land, we need to also to be involved so that our community is not deformed as well, with the clear rules of the profession. Thank you very much.
Presenters, I would like to thank you for a very short and pointed presentation. Members, honorable members, I expect to say from honorable Sultan, followed by honorable Jamil. Honorable Njogo, did you have your hand up or no? Presenter, can you switch off your microphone? Thank you.
So start up on a lighter note, I hope that people who were born and grew up exclusively in urban areas will find no space here. We run people with zones. Anyway, which I appreciate pretty much the particular of the last point that traditional leaders should be consulted when expropriation is going to take place in land over which they have got shared jurisdiction and the like, because the social fabric that is going to be left in the wrong area is more peaceful than ethnic conscious, you know, definitely is going to be affected when a certain portion of villages are going to be expropriated, or if they are, you know, where felt where their cattle grazing are going to be affected. So they need to be consulted. They need not necessarily be an institution of government, but I believe that therefore a very, very valid point. I think rather than them having to prove to government why they should be consulted, I think it's for government to show us why they should not be consulted. So I want to just sort of state at that point. That's I thank you, sir. Honorable Zanini, short and to the point. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I do have a very good to my brother who was presenting. You are playing in suspect that our indigenous people are all suffering. But you come here to propose a bill that says the people that are working, they must be paid to bring back your own land that you play your own. How do you deal with that when you know for a fact that someone wrote you and you come here and you say that person must be paid money to give back your own land? And since you are representing more communities, that is view of the community that they are saying that the chief and the custodian are they not the owners of the land. Is that a view of the people that are living under those areas? But it's okay, the people that you know for a fact that are not, they must be paid to bring back the land that they own as well. Thank you.
I thank you very much, Honorable Mr. Foley.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the presentation. My name is Chairperson. The controllers are talking about occupation with traditional leaders. But the national leadership, the traditional national leadership, they want the municipalities to be excluded, or the state of other federal organs to be excluded from this expropriation. So what will be your intake as the contrary?
Thank you, sir. Honorable Martin.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me appreciate the presentation also. I just want to say it is very good to hear you from the controller saying the traditional leaders are not owners of land, but they are holding it, they are custodians of land, holding it in trust for the community themselves. I think this must be really de-emphasized all the time, because in most cases, development is being hampered by the fact that most of the Sabisa leaders, they take it as if they are the owners, and therefore as long as they don't agree with them, it will never happen in their name. And that is why they are having this problem of the rural areas not developing as they are supposed to be. It was just a comment.
Thank you very much. Input from the department or from the ministry there? Deputy Minister, you a chance for a rejoinder, a reply, controversial delegation.
Thank you, sir. I get the points that are raised by the ministry. To say, do you want to also support that people want to give the money on the pay? I don't think that is the way to go, because the institution for us, the money will come and go. The land will always be there. It shouldn't be the money that the country that takes the value of the land. We do many things on the land. If we found the land in there, our forefathers left that land for us. We leave that land for our future generations. So if you say we need the money instead of the land, I don't think it will be correct in whatever way.
Thank you very much, Chair. But sorry, well, there's no contradiction in how the contract is. It's clearly stated that in terms of contradiction, because the history taught us that there's a tendency of municipalities that are treating the national leaders badly. They even possess some of our land, which hold integrity. Now, what House elaborated was clearly shows that the history has taught us that cannot be especially in the local area, then be undermined. In that case, we are not interested. We are for part of the state, traditionally. And also the house of the state as the state layer of government. So now, in this case, it's true that because of the power imbalances and the treatment of the local government, there must be pure education to show that the soldiers are there and they must be taken down in terms of the municipal infrastructure act. Yes, in terms of 25%, I mean section 25, that Obama indeed support that the contract traditionally that they are not owners of the land, as we elaborated, which are the custodian. There are people like when the president is pronounced, it's not his or his or own view. It's the view of the council consulted or consulting the member of the community. Then we pronounce. Otherwise, each and every member cannot pronounce what the member feel. As members, we say, look, that's a leader who is appointed and elected and seek the special council and the special purpose, pronounce the execution. Then that position of